That will do, Dad. There we go.
For goodness.
Hymn number 173, I believe it is, in the big books. 173 in the big books. That's Love Lifted Me. 16 in the wee black books this evening. We'll have to stand. We can't sit for all that He Love Lifted Me or He Lifted Me. So number 16 is He Lifted Me. I know we've all sung it before, but we should remember this. He Lifted Me.
Thank you.
Tonight's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 13. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13. Taking over that one, Psalm 13, thanks, man.
That's a good short night.
The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. And now I have a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Hail ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the worm for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, to remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, as a sheep that no man taketh up, and shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. They shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the chariots of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrows Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherd make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, the dragons in their pleasant places, and their time is near to come, and their day shall not be prolonged. And I'd like just to read verses 15 to 17 in chapter 14. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, This is the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of his furnace. Amen.
Yeah. good verses there, some very good, some about the future, things that are going to be happening. So well worth paying attention to the Word of God. Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you for that, Norman. Amen. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add to the prayer list this evening? Want to pray about your mummy, or do I not care?
Not so bad.
Pray for Carol. Seems to have injured her back or done something to herself, and she's still having a lot of bother with that, so please do pray about that. Pray for all our absent brethren this evening. For Ling, as she travels, Frank should be, if he's not on his way, he should be getting ready to head back home to the UK. His mum and dad have another fortnight of time with friends and relatives, so please do pray for them. Yes, Norman, sorry.
I'd like to pray for a townsman by the name of Calvin Robinson. I'm sure he's aware of himself. He was fired from GB News there a couple of weeks ago. He's been evicted from his house in London.
Oh, goodness.
Because he can't pay the rent. Obviously, London's not cheap. He still holds a service on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And
is that the guy with the hair?
Yes.
Goodness.
And he's been demeaned in the media and what he called for his Christian views.
Is this because he dared to disagree with the big cheeses of GB News?
Yes.
This is what's common, folks. Mm. This is why it pays to be beholden to no man. This is why they can't give Trump a harder time, in fact. So please pray for him. He is an ordained minister.
Yeah.
So
Church of England wouldn't ordain him, but
somebody did.
The Church in Africa ordained him.
The Episcopal Church in Africa.
Yes.
Just pray for that fellow Kelvin Robinson. I have seen him a few times. He's a very straight talking young man. His views I would agree with him on all the things that he's talking about, so please do pray for him. And bear in mind that if you don't actually pray for that guy, there's going to come a time when there'll be nobody praying for you either, because it'll come your way. So pray for him. I know there are a lot of people. There is an RSE meeting in the Tully Glass Hotel in Ballymena Monday week. Between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. at the Christian Institute, and I think one of the English ministers in the UK, all about the RSE teaching. We're planning to go. You're welcome to come along if you're interested. But please do pray about that. This is another. This is making us our country more like Sodom and Gomorrah every day. So please do pray for those two people. I'll put that at the back.
I actually felt very sorry to him because he was on this evening and he was actually crying.
What was he on?
He was on Maratuzzi. Maratuzzi, the Iranian guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was on this station.
That's awful. But that shows you what they can do to you. Mm-hmm. Goodness, that's awful. And no doubt he put everything on hold to join GB News.
Yep.
GB News is disappearing as a bastion of what's good and proper too.
Yeah, we'll see the big knobs on the head of GB News. Like picking a bid through the Telegraph, and they obviously drop everything that they were supposed to be standing for in order to buy the Telegraph. You can't proceed to be a Christian and you're going to buy a newspaper.
No. Come back on them, but don't forget them. Kelvin Robinson, yes. Please remember that fellow. No, Russell Brand is not viewed as a sterling character, but let's be honest, none of us are. But he was standing for similar things. It's amazing how this guy that came from the worst of backgrounds and a guy that came from a good background, their beliefs and their conversation have both converged about the well-being of people and the future of our country. And it is amazing how people everywhere are concerned about how things are going, not just here but in America and around the world. So there's much to be done. We should always stand up for what's right. Ever get an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, take it. There was a woman that rang today wanting to do a survey about the church. And I thought, sure, why not? And took the opportunity, after she had spoken and asked questions, to tell her that something to the effect of that people are not normally happy when a minister tells them that they're a lost soul that needs to be saved and they need to repent and believe. And I was explaining what we did here. So please do pray, and don't ever be afraid to stand up. But push comes to shove, you have a bed and 3 squares a day in my house. And if push really comes to shove, you can have an air bed and 3 squares out the back. Don't worry about it. You will always have a roof over your head and somewhere warm and dry to put your head down. Don't ever worry about that. I've had to do it before, and I don't mind doing it again. So, amen. Anything else?
Yeah, they also raided him in Fox's house this afternoon.
A Lawrence Fox?
Uh-huh.
They raided him?
Yeah, the thought police.
This is reminiscent of the black shirt. Was it the black shirts or the brown shirts in Germany?
Yeah, people are getting spammed in London, and all they have to do is to go out and think out. And if somebody says something that he's thinking about doing, something that they put him in the lady's house, you take him down and book him for thinking something.
Because of speaking back to a woman that hated men.
Yeah. I think it probably was more to do with the U-List thing than maybe the one, because he said he might go out and take those cameras down himself.
Okay.
Which is...
It's not a crime.
It's not a crime, he hasn't done it.
Yep. It's awful. Mm-hmm. That's where we are right now. Keep your eyes peeled, keep your eyes on the Lord most of all, but make sure you always say and do the right thing. Let's pray, and then we'll turn. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for loving us, and we thank you, Lord, for giving your Son to pay for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Just remember again all the folks that could be here. We thank you, Lord, for Winston and Nicolette visiting with us, and we pray for their son Scott, Lord. I pray, Lord, please, that you would put your good hand upon all of your children wherever they are. But we just pray especially for the likes of Russell Brand and Kelvin Robinson and Lawrence Fox, Lord. And I am sure there are many others that have stood and spoken out for you. Would you please, Lord, please, Lord, just put your good hand upon them. If they're not saved, please speak to them about their souls. And if they are saved, Lord, please fight for them. For all of your children, Lord, wherever it is that they might be. I pray, Lord, for the saving of judges and barristers, solicitors, teachers, policemen, shop assistants, Joe Public, the people that live under the bridge, for Joe, and Damien, and Jerry Levy, and Maggie, Hamilese, and for that wee girl we met last week, Lord, I pray, Lord, for these dear souls, for all the souls around and about, Lord, and Lord, for our private prayer requests and commissions. We really do need you, Lord. There are souls that are crying out for something that's real, and I pray you for it this time. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We just pray this, Lord, and the many other things that are going on. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're not forgetting the Fox family, Lord, and Stan, the folks up in Bangor. For the Bissetts, the Haynes, the Asquiths, Lord, and the Seelys, and the many others that are standing to be counted, Lord, and to preach the full counsel of your word. Not just at the pulpit, but with their lives every day. We really love you and thank you. And we ask all of it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody got a suggestion for a song? I'm heading towards the Christmas ones at the back. So if anybody has one, now would be the time to shout it out.
Well, I had one which you used like Christmas songs.
Go on ahead. I was thinking of number 79, with Christian Men Rejoice.
136 in the big book.
136. Let's do 136.
We have some that's 21.
In times of life, the master of the tempest of the enemy. Yes, indeed. Number 136 in the big books, master of the tempest is real.
Yeah.
before we open our Bibles, you got one, Norman? John? Number 13 in the black book. That'll work for me. Gotcha. Guide me, O thy great John. That's Sam for this. Sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Poor old Thomas always got a rough ride. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. two verses, verse 41 and 42, is our particular text this evening. And I want to spend a minute or two on the subject of for us. It's all for us. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come before you again. And I pray you, Lord, for your help and understanding and following the thoughts that you have stored for us in this portion of your word. Please bless us now, Lord, and please be one of our number. And please, Lord, right the way across the world, wherever your word is speak, that those powerful words would find their places in people's hearts and make a difference. We love you and thank you. We pray again for our absent brethren. And we pray, Lord, please, for your will to be done. Please take us and use us, each and every one, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This is the account of the resurrection of Lazarus, perhaps one of the most famous accounts of one of the Lord's miracles. Most of the miracles and things that Jesus did were not done for friends and family. They were done for pretty much complete strangers. And as we open this portion of God's word, we see that the Lord knows already that Lazarus is sick. And even though he knows he's sick, he waits two more days before he even starts heading towards Bethany. Now, there's an interesting little verse, if it helps you understand some of the other interactions that the Lord had with many people. Verse number 2, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her tears and her hair. And it was his brother Lazarus that was sick. She had a bad reputation. If you recall to mind that one of the Pharisees said, if this man knew who this woman was, he wouldn't have suffered her to touch him. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the Lord says that Lazarus' sickness and his death is going to be an opportunity to show the great power of God. I am sure it certainly gave Lazarus a different perspective in life whenever he came to dealing with many people after that. Does anybody know how far 15 furlongs is? How long is a furlong? Is it a quarter mile or? It's not very much, I don't think it would be. Something like that. So you're talking maybe 2 miles away. If you want to look there, Mrs. Bradfield, I would cheerfully take that information. It wasn't very far away. I think it was somewhere you could get to in very short order. A brisk walk maybe take you an hour to get there. But Jesus didn't go. And if you recall to mind, a lot of the other times that the Lord was doing miracles, when somebody called, Jesus went. When the centurion called, Jesus started going towards centurion's house to heal his servant. Whenever, if you were to read in the book of Mark, you would read about straightway and forthwith and immediately, all the time, the Lord, whenever he was needed, he went to the place that he was needed straight away and things happened. But this time, he actually waits. When he went to Jairus' daughter and she was dead, she was just dead. When he went to the widow woman's son, or he came across the widow woman's son being born on a bier, they were off to bury him. He was only dead maybe a day. But here, Lazarus,
220 yards.
That is about an eighth of a mile. It's about 2 miles. Anyway, so you could literally, that would be from my house to the main road and back again from here. So it's not that far. You're talking about a wee village not very far away. So anyway. So the Lord actually waits. He doesn't just wait, look, we need to get this. He waits for 2 more days. In other words, he is waiting until Lazarus's body has started to break down, as his two sisters said, until the body starts to rot. Being an example again of the power of God in bringing people back to life. Now, it's very, very sad. It doesn't matter, and I mean this with the most respect in the world, It doesn't matter how good a Christian you are, and it doesn't matter how closely you walk with the Lord. When a loved one steps off into eternity, you miss them. And you grieve them. And your heart breaks for them because for a little while you're not going to have their company. And it will be, as Martha said in verse 24, I know he will rise again on the last day. We'll meet all of our loved ones on the last day. But there's really no words to comfort you whenever things like that happen. It takes time and it takes walking and talking with the Lord. And there are people that don't have the Lord that never get over the passing of a loved one. It literally is, it's the end of their lives. It's like their lives are so intimately tied together with the person that their lives stop as well. But we as Christians have the promise of seeing all of those that have died in Christ again in new and glorified bodies. For all of this, they still felt the grief. And as we read on, we see that the Lord is not a God that is divorced from us. He doesn't sit like Mr. Spock and everything is only just interesting with one eyebrow going up. That is not the way God goes. If you recall to mind, we read in Genesis a few services back how we were created in God's image. And the way we feel grief is a shadow of the way God feels grief. The way we feel a righteous anger is a shadow of the way God feels anger. The way we feel joy is a shadow of the way God rejoices. And so God grieved. Jesus grieved for Lazarus. He's not a hateful God. He cares. And I don't know about you, but whenever someone that you know suffers a great loss, you feel for them. And that's exactly what the Lord felt for Mary and Martha. He felt for them. And the shortest verse in the Bible speaks volumes of how God feels about us. He does, you know, God, there's no preference of persons with God. God feels the same about everybody. So this is actually a picture of how God feels about us. When we grieve, he feels that for us because he loves us. So the Word of God says that the Lord went and stood at the tombstone of Lazarus and told them to roll away the stone. And it's quite interesting. He calls Lazarus out of the grave. And it says in verse 44 that he came out of the grave, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, I don't know if he was wrapped like a mummy or if he was just wrapped completely and bound, but the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Maybe he floated out. I don't know, but the Lord said, loose him and let him go. And such was the effect on Mary and Martha and their friends and the people that came to visit with them and to commiserate with them, that many people believed on God because of Lazarus. In fact, so many people believed on God because of Lazarus that the scribes and Pharisees put him on the same hit list as Jesus. And that's amazing. That's staggering just what he did. But the piece that really interests me this time around is verses 41 and 42, where the Lord prays. Jesus talks to his Father, and he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And that is what really grabbed my attention with this portion of God's Word. Now, God's Word is very important. And it's so important that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are verses that say pretty much this. Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. In other words, God's book is not just a record of history, it's a record of the future. It's a record of the history and the future of the world, but it's also a record of the history and future of each person in it. When the Bible says, you get saved, you go to heaven, that is your that your past is forgotten, your sins are forgotten, you're made a new creature, and you have a new home in heaven. Or if you reject them, it tells you your past is your future. A life without God becomes an eternity without God in hell in the lake of fire. It is important. And the Bible says as long as there are souls that need saving, there will be a copy of the Bible on the face of the earth. Should it only be one person, there will be a copy of the Word of God left on earth. We know, reading Revelation chapter 20, that there will be a cataclysmic end to the earth with fire coming down from heaven and consuming everybody that hates God. And the very next verse is about a new heaven and a new earth and the great white throne of judgment. A lot of people think, well, that's an interesting opinion. The Bible says, and it says it two or three times, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Because God has said it's going to happen, it will happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says this to you and I as Christians. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If you think back on that, that means 2,000 years is just like 2 days to the Lord. It's no time at all. He is still his intention to carry every single thing out in the Bible that he says he still has to carry out. It will happen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. So what is so special about God? What's so needful about it that it was important that all of these things be recorded so that we can hear them? One of my most favourite verses is Romans 1, famous favourite chapters. It's Romans 1, I think is it verse 15 or 16, where Paul, who used to persecute the Christian church, even to the death of many followers, said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Not only for the endless ages of eternity, but it will not just save your soul for eternity, but it will save your life right now. It tells us God's actual words. It tells us the history of the world. It gives us so many prophecies that even in recent history we have seen come to pass. Sadly, very, very recently, and it's almost like someone fired the starter pistol, and bad people have just started doing as badly as they can. They're not even concerned about being found out. And it tells us about what pleases God and what displeases God. In other words, things that's going to get you a thick ear and things that's going to get you an ice cream if you were 7 years old from God. In the Word of God, there's over 600 commandments. Most people know the Ten Commandments. I'm sure I could probably run off maybe another 10 for you. That would still leave me in a lot of trouble. Because the law still stands. If you do not want to accept the free gift of everlasting life given by God and his Son Christ Jesus, the law still stands for you. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." A lot of things we just don't know as a people. That each and every one of us is loved by God, and we need to hear that. We are precious souls. And he loves us more than even he loves himself. Have you ever heard of people giving their lives for their children just to snatch their children out of harm's way at great cost to themselves, with no thought for their own lives, but just for the life of that loved one that they plucked out of the way? As I was... I saw on YouTube the other day about a man swimming to the shore, being chased by a crocodile, and there was a steep bank, about 4 foot of a bank, vertical bank, that he wasn't going to make it. So one of his friends jumped in and jumped on top of the crocodile and scared the living daylights out of it, and the crocodile scurried. That would be a good friend. That would be the sort of guy to keep about you, to buy a steak for and a coffee at any given time. But we need to know that God loves us. He loves our souls, but he doesn't love our sins. And this sacrifice that he made in giving Jesus Christ as our substitute is because he's the only one that could survive it. He's the only one that could survive the judgment that is heading to everybody. And that doesn't mean he lets us away with everything. It means the cost of all that has been done is carried by Christ. Now, all other religions love you for your money and what you can do for them and making them look good, and they'll leave you living your whole life trying to do the best that you can. And they will keep you away from the only faith where everything regarding your eternity is already done. Bible-believing Christianity. We need to know that. Another thing you need to know is, as the Lord said in John chapter 3, is that we're all condemned. We inherited a sin nature that condemns us. And Jesus didn't come to judge us. We're already judged and found guilty. Jesus came to save us. And the great thing about it is once we are saved, he doesn't leave it up to us to stay saved. Because let's be honest, how many times do we set things down and can never find them again? If we were talking about, I know in the walls of the church, there's at least one Stanley knife and probably a hammer and maybe a couple of other tools left there for posterity by Norman and myself. They're lost. As far as we're concerned, they're somewhere there, but as far as we're concerned, they're gone. I would hate to think that I had to carry around my salvation in my pocket, because whenever we were working up there, we might have said, look, I'm going to have to set my salvation up here on top of this bit of a joist so that I can fill my pocket with nails or screws. And then we'd be so busy at getting this done, we'd be a couple of panels down, and I'd be saying, I'm almost certain I have my salvation around here somewhere. Something that I did lost me my salvation. I'm thankful Jesus holds on to it. And not only, he's not just holding on to it for a bit of crack, he says, I'll keep it in the palm of my hand, and so will my Father, and no man can pluck it out. We need to know that once you're saved forever. Nobody can take it away from you, because God holds on to it. He also said, no matter what anybody says, there's only one way to get to heaven. And said it best in John 14 and 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A lot of people say, but that makes you a narrow-minded bigot. It would do, except it's all for free. It's literally given away. And all you have to do is ask for it. Repent of your sins and ask for it in church. No money changes hands, just your sins. Another thing that people need to know is that we're not here by accident. As somebody once said, it takes more faith that nothing created everything, that a giant explosion created all of this order from chaos. It takes a huge amount of faith to believe that, more than, excuse me, than to believe that a perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing, an omnipotent God called everything into being and made it perfect, and it's been running down ever since. That's called entropy. Everything is just tending to run down. And it's not getting better as people claim. It's getting worse. It takes more faith to believe that an explosion created everything, because we had lived in Northern Ireland for, you're 44, John, aren't you? 47? 45, I was giving you a year. You've probably heard of some of the many, many explosions that have taken place. I remember one that took place in Portrush and demolished a hotel. It didn't build a block of flats in its place. The explosion didn't do that. It demolished it. It turned it to rubble and chaos. And and probably cost a few people their lives into the garden. God made everything. And if you look at the Bible, he made it all just about 6,000 years ago. And he left his fingerprints and his footprints in this whole world, just about everywhere you look. And you and I, we are not the end result of animals killing and eating each other for the past 3 billion years. We were made living souls by God. And we were made immortal to fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. Unfortunately, whenever he put us here, everything started to go bad. And should make us think, if sin caused a creature that was made to live forever start to die so it only lived 1,000 years, what does sin do in our lives to us? We should be thinking about that. We need to know as well that heaven and hell, or hell, should I say, is our choice of destination. It's not up to God. God has made his decision. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. God wants us in heaven. He has prepared us a Bible to show us the way. He's done all the heavy lifting. He's paid the price of our sins. All that it takes for us to do is to admit to God that he's right and we're wrong, to repent of our sins, and trust the finished work of his Son, Christ Jesus. As it says in Romans 10, to confess with your lips the Lord God and believe in your heart that he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That's it. But it's our choice. Our choice. God made the earth. He put us in it. He has reminded people of everything from generation to generation. He's preserved his word. He ministers to us. He convicts us of our sins by tapping us on the shoulder. The whole Bible, in Romans 1 and 20, it says even the creation preaches a message that there is a God, even for people that never read the Bible, which unfortunately there are more and more as the years go on. It's our choice. Because he gave us a free will, and he gave us a life, and he gave us a brain. He gave us eyes, and we can think. If we don't, we're stupid for wasting that resource. It's up to each one of us to decide that either Jesus Christ is our own personal and sufficient Savior, and that road takes us to heaven, or in rejecting Christ out of hand forever, or rejecting Jesus Christ every day, that would put us in hell. And we need to know that. And these are why these things are preserved, because we do need to know that. That is the very basis of things that we need to know. We need to know that we can do as little as we want or as much as we want with this new life, as this new creature that Jesus has made us. And he will honor us accordingly. In fact, there is a verse in the Bible that says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said this. And this is the more abundantly bit in our lives that we're talking about. The ability to live for God and walk and talk with him and do the things that he asks and see God working in our lives. The Bible says the word of God affects people. It saves souls. It makes much of our lives. It gives us the power to make the right decisions and the freedom from fear to make the right decisions. It also says that if we hide it in our hearts, it will be that much harder to sin against God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against it. I am sure if you thought, we have, I am sure, favorite verses in the Bible that we think about. I think I mentioned one the other day, thou shalt not steal. Because I always keep my eyes open for anything. If it's out in the public domain, it's in the public domain, and it might end up in Mark Bradfield's domain. And there was a perfect 40 or 100-litre barrel sitting in a field that the horses was given to the horses to play with. It wasn't doing anything. It was nearly in a ditch. and it was nearly mine because it was in a ditch, but I saw somebody had moved it, therefore it was theirs, and God said, that's theirs, don't touch it. I thought, fair enough. So I don't touch it. I am sure we have our favorite verses. The Bible is not just a morality tale, although there is a lot of morals in it, a lot of standards that we make our own and cling to. It's the very word of God that will pull us out of the mire of sin and keep us out. It is a prophetic book full of fulfilled and still to be fulfilled promises, and it assures us as we see those things happening that this book can only come from God. It contains all that God wants for us to know about the past, the present, the future, and eternity, and our parts of it. And we would be doing ourselves and those around and about us that depend upon us in a spiritual sense the greatest of disservices in not being familiar with God's word. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I appreciate your time. Bible's for us. Make it your friend. God bless you. Right, I have a Christmassy hymn to sing. It's Good Christian Men Rejoice. If you want to take the wee black books and turn to number 79 in the wee black books, stand and sing Good Christian Men Rejoice. Amen. Thank you for your time. God bless you. Please be with our absent brethren. Please, Lord, touch those with heavy hearts. And I pray, you, Father, that in the battles that we fight, that you would work in the background, defeating in hearts and minds and with circumstance those that stand against us. We know, Lord, that you're still in the world and working in the world. And we don't have to worry about being beaten all the time by the world, the flesh and the devil, but we do have our victory. Thank you for loving us and for your word, for your Son Christ Jesus, and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would walk with us, Lord, as we go on from here. We love you and thank you. Please be with Carol, that fella Kelvin Robinson, and all of those other souls, Lord, that are getting it in the neck for daring to say, for daring to ask questions. We love you and praise you. We leave these things at your feet along with our private prayer requests. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.